Welcome back. Today we're talking about a pretty specific but powerful idea, trajectory-informed memory generation for self-improving agents. Why does that matter? In plain terms, a trajectory is just a record of an agent's experience, the states it saw, the actions it took, and the rewards or outcomes that followed. Memory generation means automatically creating compact, useful records from those trajectories so the agent can remember and learn from past experience.
The central question for this episode, how can those generated memories let agents improve themselves over time without constant human supervision?
Quick primer on the paper's core idea. Instead of treating every experience equally, the system extracts and scores segments of trajectories for usefulness. Think of cutting a long game recording into a highlight reel. It uses heuristics or learned scorers to pick moments that are novel, informative about success or failure, or representative of recurring situations. Those moments are compressed into memory vectors or structured summaries, indexed for retrieval, and then used later either at decision time as extra context or offline to fine-tune policies. The result is better sample efficiency and a clearer credit assignment path. Memories point to what actually mattered in past runs, so the agent doesn't have to relearn from scratch each time.
To ground that, imagine a customer support chatbot deployed across thousands of chats. Instead of storing every chat, the system stores just the snippets where agents diverged or where a clever phrasing resolved a tricky issue. When a new similar ticket arrives, the agent retrieves that snippet and adapts the response. Or in robotics, a navigation robot stores memory of a narrow corridor where it consistently got stuck and later pulls that memory to avoid the same mistake. Practically, this reduces repeated errors and speeds up adaptation, but it also raises storage, privacy, and consistency questions we have to manage.
So the paper's core claim is that smartly generated memories from trajectories can bootstrap continuous improvement. One quick follow-up. Are these memories meant to be used immediately in an online loop or collected and used in batch updates? What's the cadence?
Good question. The approach supports both. You can have a fast path where memories are cached and used immediately for planning or retrieval, like pulling a recent highlight during a conversation, and a slow path where memories accumulate and are used for periodic fine-tuning. There's a trade-off. Immediate use gives quick behavioral fixes, but risks instability. Batched updates are more stable, but slower. The paper explores hybrid schedules and shows gains from mixing online retrieval with occasional retraining.
And from an engineering perspective, that trade-off determines architecture. Low-latency retrieval with an in-memory index for immediate fixes, plus a scalable storage tier for the long-term memory corpus. Monitoring has to watch for regressions after memory-driven updates, plus guardrails for privacy and data retention. Those operational pieces decide whether the theory actually helps in production.
Let's dive into the guts. How does trajectory-informed memory generation actually work? Start with how trajectories are collected and represented, what gets recorded, and how do you turn a long run into something useful?
At the lowest level, a trajectory is a time-ordered sequence. Observations are states, actions, and rewards are outcomes. The first step is instrumentation, sampling states at useful frequencies, logging actions, and tagging events like successes, failures, or operator interventions. Then you extract features. Raw observations can be embedded with a perception model, you add action encodings, and you attach metadata, timestamps, task IDs, sensor confidence. Analogy: instead of keeping a full video of a soccer game, you extract clips of goals, fouls, and tactical shifts. That's your highlight reel.
When you say features and embeddings, I'm thinking cost and volume. Do teams typically record full high-resolution states or downsample? How granular should those clips be for production?
Good point. Practically, you downsample and compress. Vision-heavy agents use feature-level embeddings from a convolutional encoder instead of raw frames. For chat agents, you keep utterance embeddings plus a short text summary. Clips are sized to capture the causally relevant window, maybe a few seconds around a failure in robotics, or a turn in resolution window in dialogues. The paper suggests heuristics and learned segmentation to decide clip boundaries.
Okay, so we have clips and embeddings. Walk us through the memory generation mechanics. How do you decide which clips become memories? How are they compressed and indexed for later retrieval?
There are three pieces: scoring, compression, and indexing. Scoring ranks clips by utility, novelty, surprise, high reward gradient, or recurrence. This can be a rule-based score or a learned score trained to predict downstream value. Compression turns a clip into a compact representation, a vector embedding, a structured summary, state action outcome triples, or a hybrid. Indexing uses an AN index like FAISS for fast similarity lookups, plus secondary keys for time or task. Retrieval strategies vary: nearest neighbor by embedding similarity, filtered by task metadata, or prioritized by recency and failure severity.
I want to push back on the learned scorer assumption. If the scorer itself is learned, doesn't that risk circularity? You might learn to prefer the same sorts of experiences you already know are useful and miss rare but critical cases.
Absolutely a valid concern. The paper addresses this with exploration in the scorer, penalize redundancy, and include novelty signals. They also use ensemble scorers or curiosity-based components, so rare but informative events get higher weight. Ablation studies showed that combining novelty and outcome-based signals yielded better coverage than a single signal alone.
So once memories are stored, how do they feed back into learning? Describe the learning loop: online retrieval, offline fine-tuning, frequency of updates, and how credit assignment works.
Two paths: immediate retrieval at decision time and offline learning. Immediate retrieval augments context. The agent conditions on retrieved memories to pick actions, which can quickly correct known failure modes. Offline, memories accumulate into a replay corpus used for periodic fine-tuning or policy updates. For credit assignment, they use importance weighting. Retrieved memories are associated with estimated advantages or gradient signals, so the model focuses on outcomes causally linked to the memory. There's also prioritized replay, where high-value memories get sampled more for updates. The cadence is a hybrid: frequent lightweight retrieval plus scheduled heavier retraining to keep stability.
From an ops view, that hybrid loop matters a lot. Immediate retrieval sounds great, but it raises latency and consistency issues. You might make decisions based on slightly different memory sets across instances. How do you avoid flip-flopping or regressions after a memory-driven update?
Engineering controls are crucial. The paper recommends versioned memory indices, snapshotting the index for a training window and rolling updates for the online index. Also, safety layers: conservative policy constraints during early deployment, shadow testing updates before promoting them, and monitoring drift metrics. They measured regressions by holding out a validation set of critical tasks and only accepting memory-driven updates that don't degrade those metrics.
Let's talk evaluation. What benchmarks and metrics did they use to show these memories produce real self-improvement? Any ablation results worth calling out?
They evaluated on simulated navigation tasks and dialogue-based help desk simulations. Key metrics were sample efficiency, how quickly success rate rises with experience, cumulative regret, and recovery rate from repeated failure modes. Baselines were plain replay buffers and naive global fine-tuning. Results: memory-informed systems reached target performance with fewer environment interactions and showed faster recovery from recurring errors. Ablations removed scorers, retrieval, or compression, and each removal hurt performance, especially removing selection, which flooded learning with noise.
Benchmarks are useful, but scale changes everything. On actual fleets, indexing millions of memories and doing nearest neighbor at low latency is expensive. What implementation and scalability strategies do they suggest?
They suggest a multi-tier storage architecture: a hot RAM-based ANN for very recent or critical memories, a warm SSD-backed index for medium-term retrieval, and cold object storage for long-term archives. Use approximate nearest neighbor for speed, shard indices by task or region, and use incremental indexing to avoid rebuilding. Cache frequently retrieved items and batch costly updates. They also emphasize pruning stale or low-value memories and TTL policies to limit growth.
Quick practical recap: what should engineers prioritize when implementing this? Storage, scorer quality, or retrieval latency?
Start with scorer quality and clear monitoring. A bad score fills storage with junk and wastes compute. Next, fast retrieval for the most impactful scenarios. Use in-memory caches and shard by common queries. Finally, plan for pruning and snapshots to maintain consistency and control costs. and bake in rollback and validation so you can detect regressions early.
Okay, let's wrap with impact and next steps. We've talked mechanics. Now, what should engineers and researchers expect when they take trajectory-informed memory into production? Mark, start us with a deployment checklist and the main trade-offs teams must weigh.
Start with three priorities: score quality, retrieval latency, and robust monitoring. Score quality first. If you select junk, everything downstream wastes storage and compute. Architecturally, use a multi-tier index: RAM hot tier, SSD warm tier, cold archive, and shard by task. Add snapshotting and versioning so you can roll back memory indices. Operational trade-offs: low latency retrieval reduces errors fast but costs more and risks inconsistent views across instances. Batched retraining is cheaper and stable but slower to respond. Finally, enforce TTLs, pruning, and strict access controls for privacy.
From a research angle, there are clear next steps. Integrate memory modules with continual learning and meta-learning so the score itself adapts without catastrophic forgetting. Try hybrid symbolic continuous memories, a symbolic index for rare safety-critical events, and vector memories for everyday behavior. Concrete experiments. 1. Train a learned scorer with adversarial rare event upweighting. 2. Compare prioritized replay from memories versus uniform replay in offline fine-tuning. And 3. Run ablations that vary memory TTL to study staleness effects.
Quick follow-up on those experiments. What would you measure in each to know if it's working?
Measure sample efficiency and recovery rate from repeated failures, yes, but add operational metrics: memory hit rate, retrieval latency percentiles, index build time, storage growth rate, and rollback frequency. Also track cost per decision. Memory-driven retrieval shouldn't double your inference cost, and always run rollback canaries in shadow mode before full rollout.
Add safety and bias checks. Monitor distributional drift between retrieved memories and production inputs. Check for concentration of memories from a small subset of users or environments, and run counterfactual tests to detect harmful feedback loops. For research, counterfactual ablation. Remove top-end memories and measure policy degradation tells you memory importance and fragility.
We should also call out failure modes plainly: stale memories that no longer apply, biased memories that encode historical prejudices, circular reinforcement where the agent reinforces its own mistakes, and catastrophic forgetting if your retraining ignores rare but crucial events. Operational mitigations are straightforward: TTLs, redundancy in scoring signals, human review for high severity memories, and gating updates behind validation suites.
Great. Let's close with three takeaways listeners can act on. First, invest in selection. A good score beats raw storage growth every time. Second, design for tiers. Fast cached retrieval for critical fixes, slower batch updates for stability. Third, instrument and gate. Drift detection, canary rollouts, and human checks are essential to prevent feedback loops. To finish, a quick reminder: the podcast is available on Spotify. Search for Ship It with AI. See you tomorrow for more AI news. Have a great day.